Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics lost to the Clippers 129-119 last night at the TD Garden. DeAndre Jordan, a career-high 30 points, 13 rebounds for the winners. But for Brad Stevens' Celtics, they now go into the All-Star break on a three-game losing streak. Coach, what do you got to do to turn this around?
Well, I think, you know, go and do whatever you got to do. But treat yourselves well, treat your body well, and then come back ready to compete at a better level than we did. You know, it's going to be a tough ending if we don't change a little bit. And I'll look at what I can change as well. And I think we're probably due for some of that.
And then
we all can change. You can change.
The Green now two games out of first place in the...
Not even close to what the quote is.
What is it?
Not even close.
I can change.
Sorry, Sarge, go on.
Quite all right.
You change.
Two games out of first in the East. Celtics off until a week from tomorrow. They'll take on the Pistons in Detroit. All-Star game is this weekend. Bruins back to work Saturday night in Vancouver. Today at practice, David Pastrnak back on the first line with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron. Bruins at Vancouver on Saturday. At the Olympics, men's hockey will take on Slovakia today. Mikaela Shiffrin won the gold in the women's giant slalom. And Arizona Cardinals receiver Larry Fitzgerald said that he'll be back for another season next year. He will turn 35 in August, 11-time Pro Bowler. Headlines brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Make 2018 the last year. Weight loss is your New Year's resolution. Lose it fast and for life with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Look at the man bun on that guy, though.
He just won the gold.
Men's 10,000-meter speed skating, TJ Blowman from Canada.
TJ Blowman.
Is your winner. Get that in the headlines, Sarge.
Oh, get it ready, baby.
TJ.
B-L-O-E-M-A-N. Blowman.
Blowman.
Blowman. Blowman for gold.
With Sports Station. Telling you about the sports.
Do you want to know about Jim being mad at me yesterday?
What?
Jim's mad that I didn't want to talk about Patrice Bergeron yesterday. And he's mad that I didn't want to talk about it yesterday, but I do want to talk about it today. And he says it's...
No, I'm not mad that you didn't want to talk about it. I'm mad that you dismissed the topic yesterday like it wasn't worth talking about.
I dismissed the idea that Patrice Bergeron is the MVP of the NHL.
It's not even worth talking about, you said.
Yesterday it wasn't. Today it is. We have less to talk about today.
Okay.
Today it's worth it.
So no game day for Bergeron.
But he says, oh, Felger talked about it yesterday. Now you want to talk about it. That is partially true. That's partially true. Because I caught a little bit of this at like 3 o'clock yesterday. And you know why it caught my ear, Jim? Is because the thing they were talking about is the same thing I told you yesterday before the show. I said, where does he rank in points and goals? And they talked about this. They didn't look it up themselves. But I went ahead and did. I went and looked it up. Where the previous winners of the NHL's MVP have ranked. And how ludicrous it is, and this is not a put-down of Patrice Bergeron at all. He's having an awesome season. His play has led to great success for the Boston Bruins. So don't take this the wrong way. Do you understand that part of it?
Not yet.
You know what I mean? What do you mean not yet?
No, you've got
it's
number.
It's not a put-down to say the guy shouldn't be MVP.
No.
I get it. You hate Bergeron.
Oh, see, this is why...
He doesn't value him. That's what it is.
You guys suck.
He was thinking shirt should go in the rafters.
Keep going, Beetle. I'm curious here.
I want to hear the numbers.
I'm kind of curious.
Okay. Let's just go in reverse of previous Hart Trophy Award winners. Last year, Connor McDavid. Number one in points.
It's fair.
Patrick Kane, a couple seasons ago. Number one in points, number two in goals. Carey Price, goalie, we don't count him. Sidney Crosby, number one in points. Alex Ovechkin, number three in points, but was number one in goals. So you're noticing a trend here.
Yeah.
They're number one in either points or goals in the NHL.
Evgeny, so it's not really the MVP then?
Evgeny Malkin. We'll get to that. We will address this, Jim.
Jesus, Jim.
Calm down.
By the way, the
Hart
Trophy. It's a perfect day yesterday to talk about this.
Calm down.
The Hart Trophy.
You're right.
Come on.
It would have been good. Evgeny Malkin, number one in points, number two in goals. Corey Perry, number three in points, number one in goals. Henrik Sedin, number one in points. Alex Ovechkin, back-to-back years. The last time he did it was number one in goals, and actually this is not his last MVP. I already gave you another one. But in the back-to-back years, in the second year, he was number one in goals and number two in points. In the first year of the back-to-back, he was number one in both. And then Sidney Crosby again, number one in points. I've gone back 10 years for you, okay? Yeah. They're number one in points.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven,
eight. Eight of the 10, and the other two guys are number one in goals. So it's one or the other.
Yeah, so you're trained. That's what you're trained to evaluate what the MVP in the league is.
That's how the MVP voting goes.
Right.
And I've said many times that MVP awards in sports, any professional sport, we don't actually give out the award for the most valuable guy because that's a hard thing to kind of quantify and decide on.
Right.
It's never the guy who means the most to his team. You know, the phrase is never taken literally. You vote for the player of the year. They should rename MVP awards player of the year awards. Who had the best individual year as an individual? It's an individual award. Let's treat it like an individual award.
And you've always viewed him as sort of a Hart guy. Hart Trophy guy. That's him.
Who?
Patrice.
No. I don't.
You don't?
No, because he doesn't stack up to these guys.
If you're doing it on the goals and
I think he's earned it now, though.
How so?
That's the thing. I think longevity, impact to the team.
One.
And you got to wonder, too, does Marchand take some of it away? You know, as good a year as Marchand's having. I don't know. If you're going to give it to him in any year, this is the year.
Okay, do you want to know where he ranks in points
and
goals
now? It's not going to be. Yeah.
Again, cool. 8 of the 10, the last 10, were number one in points in the NHL. He's currently 31st.
Yep.
Do you want to know where he is in goals? I mean, because you have that fallback. Oh, but look about the guys who weren't number one. They were number one in goals.
20th.
11th.
11th.
Not bad.
Is it top 10?
Now? Having a really good year, but not even top 10.
Yeah.
Who's one, Ovechkin?
Ovechkin.
Yeah.
33 goals right now.
Makes sense, yeah.
Malkin is second with 31. Yep. That's what you got right now. Nikita Kucherov, number one in points right now. He is 72
cool.
with 30 goals.
So he deserves the MVP more than Bergeron, in your opinion?
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep. No, I do.
Well, based on that system, with the points and the goals, he's a lock for it.
Why is it insane?
I just think that it makes the award seem like less important by you reading those stats.
Uh-huh.
It's just a stats award. It's not a real MVP award.
No, it's who has the best year. And by the way, you could make a better case if you were talking about a guy who's on a bad team. But you're talking about a guy who leads the league in points, is way up there in goals. He's third in goals. And oh, by the way, he plays on a team that's ahead of the Bruins in the standings.
Yeah.
And that's an insane argument? What
world
are you living
on? I'm not saying your argument's insane. I'm saying that the MVP award is just a stats award.
Your team
has to be at the top.
It always is, Jim.
Yeah. So it's
not the best two-way player.
So you've got the player that's on a team that has a better record, more points than the Bruins do, right? In their division, ahead of them, and has contributed more to his team than Patrice Bergeron has to his.
Oh, really? Contributed more to his team?
See, the argument
based
for
on
me,
the stats, yes. But you're going to argue that he's contributed more to his team than Patrice Bergeron's contributed to the Bruins.
I think
that's where the argument is flawed.
Okay, if you're talking about what you provide in the locker room or what you provide leadership wise, I don't think that's what you get voted on an MVP for. I don't think that's what the award is about. It's about who's the best player.
Yeah, not in hockey. Other sports, it is though, right?
No, I really don't believe it is. I don't. I believe it's who has the best individual year, who's produced the most on the ice, on the field, on the court for your team.
Yes.
I think that's
so. How
who
did
wins.
Dustin Pedroia win MVP?
I don't know. I'll have to go back and look.
No, football. It's always an offensive guy. It's usually a quarterback. It's always an offensive guy.
He had a very good year, but he didn't have the best year.
The NHL, too.
And you think that's right?
I just think from a longevity standpoint.
He was clutched down the stretch and he meant the most to his team. I think that should be taken into account for any most valuable player award.
I just don't think it is. And I generally don't think that's what the purpose of the award is. I've come to realize that. It's about who had the best individual year.
By the way, I have Bergeron as ninth in goals, and he's only six behind Ovechkin. That's closer than I would have thought.
I'm on the NHL.com stats. I don't know what stats you're looking at. What site are you on?
I'm actually on there, too. I got him down for 27 goals. Ovechkin with 33.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, and six behind.
Yeah, but
Jim said.
But I'm on Hockey Reference.
Oh, he's tied.
So
you
he's
know
tied
what?
For
Here's
ninth.
Tie. He's tied for ninth. You're right. He is top 10. My mistake. I apologize profusely. He's top 10. He still isn't one or two.
You're hoping he's
going to
get him in the top five.
If they're going to do it that way, though, that's taking away the Art Ross Trophy, where the most points in goals, that's awarded to that individual scorer than that way. That's wrong for the Ross Trophy, or the Hart Trophy, rather, where the MVP
should be all
around.
So they've been getting it wrong forever?
Well, like Jim is saying, the MVP, that's taking away from the Hart situation like that, where it should be all around, locker room leader, everything on the ice and so forth, where the Ross one is statistically, based on the NHL standards. NFL, you only have one MVP.
Yep.
Major League Baseball, you got one MVP for each league, so it's limited. The NHL, they should figure that out and try
NBA
to
finals. Who gets those MVPs? The guys that score.
Exactly.
It's a sexy award.
Exactly.
It's a stat-based award.
So you're taking away the Art Ross Trophy. You're taking away the
significance of it. Last time a defensive player won MVP in a Super Bowl. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. Right.
Really doesn't happen. It's quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, receivers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And who had the best year?
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's why you end up with players that are winning MVPs on teams that many times, you know, the one that we always point to in baseball is look at A-Rod. When he played with Texas, give him the MVP. His team sucked. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's always been about who just had the best year individually, who put together the best year. It's not a team award. It's a player award. You have a team award. It's called winning. It's called getting to the cup. It's called.
That's as important to that guy. You know? That's why you love Bergeron, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He doesn't even care about this. But from the standpoint of longevity, what he's been able to do from an impact standpoint in this league, it's like this looks like the year for
can
him.
I tell you that one of my favorite parts of the Tom versus Time was when he was asked point blank, do you care about winning the MVP? Final episode, they've got the TV on in the suite, let's get the NFL network on. What's his name? Oh, I'm blanking out.
Guerrero?
No, the guy on NFL Network.
Used to be on
ESPN. Eisen.
Yes, Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen's pleading and making the case that let's stop being ridiculous. Tom Brady is the MVP. And Brady's sitting there getting the whole rub down. And he gets asked, do you care? And he's like, honestly, no. And I'm like, he goes, Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP. That's
yeah,
what I care about.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
He goes, league MVP? No. Brilliant. Love it.
Which
That's
ring
a winning
like?
Player.
Which ring's your favorite? The
That's
next
a winning
one.
Player. Yeah. That's a winning player right there. Speaking of winning teams, Bruins playing pretty well right now. We'll talk to Tory Crew coming up next.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird.
Zoleg.
The wild.
Bertrand.
And the unexpected.
How's his butt look? Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zoleg and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Here's Crew. 11th among league defensemen with 35 points. In flight, Bergeron to the slot. He scores! He picks that spot with regularity. What a dish by Krug. In flight to Bergeron. Got a step and snapped it in. A power play goal. 3-2 Bruins.
Welcome in, Bruins defenseman Tory Krug. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Tory!
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yo! Right, turn your mic on, Zolak.
Whoa, what's up?
What's up?
Hi.
What's going on?
Ready to play some ping pong?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, getting ready. We're a couple guys practicing right now, so we're all gearing up for
so
it.
So we're so screwed.
Is anybody, like, really, is there, are people good? Are guys on a team good?
There's about four or five guys that I'd say are really good, and then everyone else falls in the average category.
So will there be players from your team taking this seriously today is really my question.
I think if those guys go head-to-head, they will be in the serious competition. Wow. I would say that, yeah.
So you're saying just don't even go.
Oh, no, everyone's got to go. Come on, man.
Hey, dude, another weird break, man. I mean, long stretch here. Tuesday to Wednesday again for you guys. And then March is going to be a bitch, right?
Yeah. It's obviously, it's that time of year. Everyone's playing a lot of games. It'll finally catch up. We've had games in hands on other teams for a while, and I think it'll finally catch up now.
As veterans, are you cautioning the young guys as to what's in store? Because I think you got 16 and 30 days in March. You really don't have two straight days off. I think only once the whole month.
Yeah, we definitely, we try to do whatever we can to help the young guys. At the same time, there's no advice or experience to give unless you just go through it. So they're going to have to learn on the go, and, everyone will be bound for one another, and hopefully they can kick it in stride. I mean, they're young enough, they have enough energy to keep up with us, and, they'll do that.
What are you guys working on right now? I mean, you've played so well since the start of the year. You've won so many games. Now you got a little bit of this downtime with the weird schedule. What is the team working on? Is there something that you guys are focused on doing to do better as a team?
There is, yeah. I mean, the last few games haven't been our greatest games. Yeah, we've come away with a few wins, and obviously we have a loss against Buffalo, but we're always trying to correct some things that we're not doing, as well as we'd like to. And right now that's, covering our slot and breaking pucks out better. I think, there's a lot of times when we're returning to our D zone, we can take better routes, whether it's going right to the net or helping a guy out in the corner that's retrieving the puck. There's certain little tendencies that, we're starting to pick up, and we got to do a better job of making sure we're cleaning up our slot. So that's something that we've kind of been working on.
Chemistry is really good now, and you're getting to that point where, and you've been around here for a while, to where, it's trade deadline. We need a puck-moving defenseman, or you need a guy with a right-handed shot, whatever. Can it be dangerous adding maybe a big piece or pieces to add depth to where, maybe we're gonna ruin some chemistry here as far as, setting a young guy down or two?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a risk that, all GMs or organizations have to weigh. I mean, we have a good thing going right now. Our balance of young guys and veteran group is great. And we all get along very well, and everyone is enjoying each other's time in the room. And it's exciting to come to the rink every day. So I think right now everyone's in the role that fits them correctly, and everyone takes that role seriously. So it's definitely a thing that, you got to be cautious of, bringing another guy into a room. And that's for the GM and, the organization to think about, and, everyone proceeds with caution, I think.
Talking with Bruins defenseman Torey Krug here on Zolak and Bertrand. As always mentioning, five-game road trip. Is there anything you do when you have to go west just to kind of manage things, to be aware of that? That it's a long trip, you got a lot in front of you.
St. Louis, Winnipeg one, it's going to be a tough one. You got a lot of teams that are going to be there.
Yeah, for sure. That's they're tough trips to go out west. The time change is pretty difficult. Not necessarily going there, but I think after games is tough because you want to just jump right into bed, and because you're pretty tired, and then waking up the next morning can be pretty tough too. So that time change definitely does throw a wrinkle into some things. But everyone has to deal with it. I think it's tougher for teams that are west to come out east. But we'll go out there and do the job.
Well, you used to have guys on the team that those clocks really didn't switch with the iPhones, when you go into different time zones. I think you got the right mix of guys that got the right phones this time, too.
Good phones. Good phones.
Yeah. Hey, what's the one thing you guys like that Coach Cassidy has done as far as whether it's making quick moves or something's not working? And I'm not asking a question to compare him to Claude, but what has Cassidy done that you like the most this year and to tell where the team has responded?
I think there's a couple things. I think the first thing that comes to mind is just, being so aggressive and so assertive, that understanding that they will be mistakes, but if we play the right way, if we play assertive and aggressive,
We'll deal with those mistakes. And whether it's defensemen trying to shut down a rush at the blue line and trying to force an offside, but then they do end up making a play, that's okay because we're playing in the NHL against other good players and they're going to make good plays sometimes. So I like that. I like that mentality because it allows us to stay on our toes and always try to score that next goal no matter what. If we're up 2-1, we're not sitting back trying to win the game. We're going forward trying to score that next goal, and I think it's a great mentality to have.
All right, Tori. We'll see you later today.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, guys.
Bring your A game.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Tori Krug joining us here on the show.
Oh, we're so
out of
who place. Else is playing?
I don't know. Tim Wallach.
Fred? Rich?
Fred, Rich.
Oh, Fred and Rich are like running.
Got no
it's
hope.
Like their deal.
You know what's going to happen is the players are going to face off against one another. They're going to tell someone who bid to play.
I'll end up elevating.
Hey, step aside for 1 second while we just settle this quick. And then you get to move on if your player's the best player, which is kind of fun.
Big spot, too. I mean,
I can see that game.
I'm gonna do my best.
You do your best?
I'm trying to. Like, now I'm not going to hold the paddle like a homyuncle, where they grip the whole paddle.
By the way,
I want to hold it like this, where you put the thumb over it, you put the four on the back, and
there's no Winnipeg or St. Louis on this road trip.
I thought they got a trip coming up, yeah.
Yeah, they're going
to St. Louis,
Vancouver,
Winnipeg,
Calgary, Edmonton, and then they come back east, Toronto and Buffalo.
I'm talking about March.
Oh, you were looking
at March. Yeah, there's a road trip in there in March where they got a grouping of...
That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, of playoff caliber type teams. Yeah.
5-game road trip, that blows. That's never a good thing. Never what you're looking for. I believe it's their longest one of the year.
Okay. Just read that.
I don't think they have any other 5-game road trips than what they're about to go on.
One of those road trips in the middle of
they
the...
They don't, but you know what? They don't, but what you're
St.
talking
Louis,
about is...
St. Louis, Dallas, Minnesota,
but
Winnipeg.
Eight,
yeah.
But it's 8 out of 9. So what's worse, 8 out of 9 on the road or 5 straight? I'd say 8 out of 9 probably worse.
8 out of 9. Yeah. Yep.
Playing away from your home building? Yeah, it's never...
Yeah.
For that much time? Yeah, never what you're...
Yeah, but they put themselves in a good spot. That's, They go back to the beginning of the year with this guy talking to Tori. It's like almost like he didn't want to come on. Cause like, what else can go wrong? Injuries, and slow start, and this. And best damn team in hockey now. It's the way they're playing. It's interesting, though. He said Cassidy. Foot on the gas. That mentality of, we know how to motivate. We know how to motivate. Keeping pace, getting on it.
What would you do?
Aggressive.
Would you touch it? Would you touch the chemistry? Would you dismantle?
I mean,
the
you're going to playoffs are a different animal. I understand that. You know, maybe a veteran guy. I don't know. You need a little depth.
I think take your shot.
Yeah, I mean you're there. I mean you put yourself in a spot to say, how don't we tweak this thing? Yeah, we're there. We're there. Now it's about more than two rounds, man. Let's go. I don't know, Beetle.
The more I think about it, we were talking about this with Billy Chaffee the other day. If the prices are high.
No, out.
Right, Rick Nash?
No, thanks.
You know what? I'm starting to rethink that. I'm starting to think maybe you got to take your shot. You've got a core in place. You've got the goalie in place. That you
sounds
think,
like he doesn't want help, too. Like he's like, we got a good thing going here.
Yeah, I know they do.
Yeah.
You can't add someone to that group?
Don't F it up.
You can't make it better?
You can, yeah. But I'm saying if you had a big name, you had a Nash-type piece, Jesus, yeah, you're going to affect things. Lower level type name, just a little boost. I don't know.
617-779-0985. Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots items. The Bruins, we'll discuss all of it. We got open lines. Why don't you grab one? We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, the Bruins are back to work Saturday night. They'll open up a 5-game road trip starting in Vancouver. David Pastrnak back in the first line of practice today with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron. Kevin Miller listed as doubtful for the Vancouver game, but he is expected to make the road trip with the Bruins. Celtics back to work a week from tomorrow night, and that is because of the NBA All-Star break this weekend. Celtics lost to the Clippers last night 129-119 at the TD Garden. That is now 3 straight in the loss column for Al Horford and the Green.
I think that the theme here is our defense needs to be better. We're a group that we've built what we have so far based on the defensive end, and we've taken a big step back on that. It's obvious the past few games, and I think the break came just at the right time for our group. We need to
to really, you know, get healthy, get refocused, and get ready to have a great second half of the year.
It's Al Horford, Celtics at Detroit a week from tomorrow. Arizona Cardinals receiver Larry Fitzgerald announcing he'll be back for another NFL season. He's played 14 years so far. We'll turn 35 in August. An opening round at the Genesis at the Riviera. Tiger Woods, 2 over through 3. Graham McDowell is your leader at 2 under par. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Are they aliens?
Nolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, we've got some Red Sox items we will get to. But first, John and Dedham on the Bruins. John?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, not much. Just working. I really think that the Bruins need to go out and get Rick Nash. Not only because he can score, but because he plays a 200-foot game. And I think when it comes playoff time, that's really going to show, you know, and how good he is. And now I'll shut up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
What did you say about him?
He plays a 200-foot game.
Oh, okay, gotcha. 200-foot game. I didn't hear what he said. Did he call the other day, too? Well, that's what Billy said. Billy said this the other day. 200-foot game. That was Billy's thing the other day. Hmm. Yeah, there's no doubting what kind of player he is. It's about the cost. It's about what you have to give up to get him. I don't think anyone's against getting him. There are some people that say at some point, no, I don't want to give up one of these particular young players or... And really, what it comes down to, though, is do you want to give up a young player or not? The draft pick, I don't think anyone's going to put up a fight over.
I don't care about the draft
pick. No one cares about the draft pick.
A named draft pick right now. No, don't care about that. But I like their young players.
So do I.
I like the way this thing's trending. I mean, how many times have we been through it with young guys where it just doesn't look right?
But hasn't Don Sweeney done a decent job of drafting players?
Yeah.
So that's when you kind of say, well, go out and... draft well in the second and third rounds. If you're giving up a first-round pick and a young player, well, then just go out and draft well in this year's draft. Something along those lines.
When was it that...
And the other part of it is the possibility of it being both Nash and Ryan McDonough. If you could pull off the deal for both in the same trade, something tells me you're not going to pay as much if you bundle the players as you would have if you were trading for those guys individually from two different teams.
Yeah.
So you might give up a lot, but you might be giving up less than what it would take to get them individually. So you might give up a haul to do a deal like that. But McDonough has term.
When was it Cam came on with Felger and Mazz and said, just ask him for a little patience here. Just a little time. Give us some time here. That was the end of the last year, right?
Yeah.
Look how quick, you know, the impact of these young guys. And like Torrey Krug said, we got a pretty damn good mix of veterans and young guys and, you know, the guys in the middle. This has come together quite quickly.
All right, so Red Sox spring training is continuing today in Fort Myers, and a couple of the young guys spoke. Bogaerts and Betts, right?
Ooh, killer bees.
Bogaerts and Betts both speaking today, alluding to issues that were going on last season.
What issues? I thought they didn't have any issues.
Start with Betts.
Let's start with Betts. Okay. What's he got?
Yeah, we could have had more fun. I think we still enjoyed it, but we could have had more fun. I think through the rough times, I think those were the times when we could have had a little more fun instead of being down so much. So we had a rough patch this year. I feel like maybe we learned from last year and we can continue to enjoy the game and maybe we can get out of it faster.
Should we expect the outfield dance after the wins?
We hadn't come in.
No.
Talked about it just yet.
No.
I'm sure we'll talk about it here soon.
When it comes to having more fun with you, how do you guys do that? Like the conversation, what's like the mechanism for that?
I think just tension in the locker room as far as if things are down. We have to find a way to smile and go out and refocus on the game now versus kind of what's been going on. I think this year will be a little different. You know, I'm going to approach things a little differently as far as – you know, if I'm not playing well or if we're losing and whatnot, we can, I can do my best to try and find a way to get everybody back happy, smiling, excited, and going to play.
Are you acknowledging that wasn't always in play last year on the team?
No, I mean, I think everybody kind of knows that that wasn't always in play. There was times when, you know, we lost a couple games in a row and, you know, we weren't necessarily down, but we were kind of pressing to try and get back to, you know, the winning side instead of just kind of letting it happen, letting the game kind of play out.
Okay. They were pressing. Mentally, they could have done a better job of getting back to winning or not pressing, I guess.
Mentioned tension.
Needed to have more fun.
Two words there, tension and down. Like, they've been down.
Well,
yeah, obviously when you have a losing skid, you're down. Tension comes from either a player within your locker room in that clubhouse or the manager.
Price.
What?
I don't know.
No. Totally Price.
Who's back this year?
No.
Yes.
Who's not back this year?
It's about the manager. It's about John Farrell. Yeah. It's about everything.
He's
that
Tony, the manager. We
the
didn't
young
know
players
how.
Didn't yeah. play well and respond well under Farrell.
He didn't know how to get us out of that, funk. He's telling you, we had funks and pressing. When you sense that your team's pressing, that's on the coach to take the pressure off. Right? Take the bullet. Accountability. Motivate. Whatever. He wasn't resonating with the team.
And they knew that he was coaching for his job, so yeah. He was on them probably a little bit more.
Yeah. Right.
See, I disagree with you, Sarge. I think he's,
right, fair.
He's a price guy. I think all these guys are price guys. Don't you, Beetle?
I think some of them.
I don't know, dude. I think all the young guys are.
He may have gotten to them.
See, you just swung right away. Just right there. Got you.
Yeah,
right
yeah but Mookie, though, over-aggressive, and now he's trying to, like, make up something to support the point.
Mookie was here, though, before Price.
Yeah, but there's always going to be that
guy. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying.
There's always going to be that guy that tries to take over a locker room or a clubhouse.
Right. All right.
It seems like Price sort of like that.
And this is not new. Let me go back to Alex Speer, October 12th, right after the firing. The decision had a great deal to do with how Farrell related to his clubhouse, especially with his young core. Tension existed at times between Farrell and Dombrowski, but if the team believed that Farrell was maximizing the performance of his players, he'd still be managing.
Huh.
How Farrell related to the clubhouse and especially his young core. There was widespread underperformance, Speer wrote, with young players such as Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and Jackie Bradley Jr., as well as veterans such as Hanley Ramirez and Chris Young, all seeing dips. When such performances became widespread rather than isolated, teams tend to ask whether the environment or manager represents a common denominator. In 2012, that prompted the Red Sox to turn from Valentine to Farrell.
Mm-hmm. Just seemed always monotone. You know, the Ben Stein delivery always talked over their heads, our heads, your heads, technical, all that. Where you got to be able to relate to these guys a little bit. Not saying be a player's coach or player's manager. Be their best friend, but.
And Dombrowski said at a press conference back in October, I think it's going to be very important for whomever it is to be able to relate to those youngsters and not only relate to them, but help them get better as players. And it tells you, it's all about the manager. Manager created tension in that clubhouse. He absolutely 100% deserved to be fired long ago.
Yep.
We'll hear from Xander Bogaerts. We have some sound from him as well on the issue. That's next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah.
About. Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I wanna take you. Bermuda. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all.
Bobby's in the sand. Bogarts is from Aruba. Get it?
Yep.
Aruba. Aruba.
Think of Beatles' Taxi story every time.
Turn it up, Jim.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take it to Bermuda. Bahama, Cabo, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego Bay.
This is when it went bad for the Beach Boys.
It really did.
You get into that full... Didn't they get in with, like, Full House?
Yeah.
Those clowns.
With Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
There was basically...
Weirdo.
Well, yeah, because Uncle Jesse there, John Stamos,
Mr. Music Guy.
Related to them, right?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Does he have Elmo.
Well, that's my good buddy Bob Saget.
Shut up, Sarge.
Remember he came in here?
Damn it, Sarge.
When?
Bob Saget? Toucher and Rich, you did the headlines?
What do you think? I remember every damn segment they do?
I'll pull it up for you.
Okay. You remember him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Beetle.
Picture together.
Good boy.
Wow. Remember Charlie Sheen came in?
Yeah, I wasn't here for that.
Okay. He's got some tie to the Beach. Stamos has a tie to the Beach.
Stamos.
Some relation.
A stud. Yeah, but that's when it went bad for them. Like Mall Band. Play Liberty Square Mall.
I guess not. I guess he just was a fan of the band and then, like, met them and got in with them. Yeah.
Stamos.
Okay. No, the taxi cab driver in Aruba, though, it was as if two baseball players existed on the face of the planet. Didi Gregorius and Xander Bogarts. Yeah. That was the gist of that conversation. But Xander Bogarts is king down there. Okay, Xander spoke about the tension and problems in the clubhouse last year, too. This happened just minutes ago. What did he say?
Xander Lukey was here a few minutes ago. He said, you know, there were times where maybe there was some tension in the clubhouse last year when things weren't going well, that maybe you guys didn't have as much fun as a winning team should have. Did you sense some of that, and can that change?
I mean, it's a long season, you know. Whenever there are a lot of men in a room, there'll always be some kind of headbutt, some kind of agreements and disagreements. But in the end, we came out on top. We came out on top, division leaders, division champs. So we had to be doing something right, you know. And as grown men, we get past all those issues, all those problems, and move forward.
Is that something that maybe you talked with Mookie or Dustin within the off season, or just kind of how to handle tough times?
We're all grown men. I definitely believe we're all learning from last year. We had a lot of stuff going on last year, to be honest, and we all live, learn, and move forward. You know, we can't just sit back and keep reminding ourselves about the past, because it's not something you really would want to do.
The hell was going on?
What went on?
That's all I want to know. Now, what the hell was going on?
Now, tension's natural, right? I mean, you're professional. You're doing
it for
your job.
Yeah, you spend a baseball season together. That's a lot of time.
That's
someone's
a grind, man.
I will not get on each other.
We get snippy with each other sometimes.
Right, sure. I kill you every day.
You spend that much time together, you're going to have fights. You're going to have your dust-ups.
Right.
You're going to get pissed at each other, even if you're friends.
Like the Brady Belichick thing. Brady Belichick Kraft, same thing. Tension exists. Especially when you win, too.
This seems like more, though.
Yeah, it's like... they didn't know how to handle it. Or nobody knew how to put it out. Like, it's there. There's the tension. Do something about it. What do you do? Just go in his office and shut the door? You think the veterans are going to police it? See, you were hearing from the young guys. Like, I don't want to hear from the veterans. I want to hear from the young guys. This is going to be your team moving forward. These guys are your core. So something wasn't right. He said there was... so there's a lot of things going on.
This is day one. Everyone's going to be asked about this now.
Day one.
Going forward.
Can you
play
that again?
You don't think Sean is going to ask every single player he talks to?
Bogart.
Can you play this again?
Yep,
can we hear this again?
Give me Bogarts again.
Yeah.
Bogart.
The full clip?
Yeah, let's play the full clip one more time.
Xander Lukey was here a few minutes ago, and he said, you know, there were times where maybe there was some tension in the clubhouse last year when things weren't going well, that maybe you guys didn't have as much fun as a winning team should have. Did you sense some of that, and can that change?
I mean, it's a long season, you know. whenever there are a lot of men in a room, there'll always be some kind of headbutt, some kind of agreements and disagreements. But in the end, we came out on top. We came out on top, division leaders, division champs. So we had to be doing something right, you know. And as grown men, we get past all those issues, all those problems, and move forward.
Is that something that maybe you talked with Mookie or Dustin within the off season, or just kind of how to handle tough times?
We're all grown men. I definitely believe we're all learning from last year. We had a lot of stuff going on last year, to be honest, and we all live, learn, and move forward. You know, we can't just sit back and keep reminding ourselves about the past, because it's not something you really would want to do.
We had a lot of stuff going on last year, to be honest.
You don't want to be reminded about it, but you were the division champ. You just said it was a good year. We still found a way to win. We're grown men, but you don't want to be reminded about it. So what you want to do is you want to forget about what the problem was, and that's John Farrell. This is Farrell.
I think this goes back to John Farrell.
It's Farrell. Like, they don't want to go back and talk about it. We want to move ahead. We got Cora. We got a new manager. Same guys. Same team. They haven't done anything. Same team. Rack it up. Let's go. A lot of stuff went on. How many incidents? I mean, other than, like, the Pedroia stuff. I guess the Price stuff, right? I'm trying to think. What did... he got moved around. Bogart's in the order. He's talking about headbutts. Headbutts. It's, you're clashing with somebody. Never got much stuff about teammates clashing. You know, pitchers weren't yelling at the players. Everyday players, they weren't yelling at them. I don't know. Seems to me it's all pointing to Farrell.
Well, that would be a good thing because he's gone.
Right.
So if it's just Farrell, then good. Hopefully things are going to be, you know, better now that he's gone.
Would have liked right there just one little follow-up.
Give me a little something.
You mentioned tensions and problems. There were many. You said, Xander, you said many things were going. What? Give us one. Like, what? Give us an example of one thing that went on. Just a little bit. That's what they got to do. That's what Shaughnessy's down there for. Get him on it.
Right.
Get down there, Dan.
Right.
Where you at, Dan? That was McAdam.
Pete Abe is down there. Your guy Pete Abe, though.
He's eating corn cob over there. I mean, what's he doing?
Corn cob? Corn on the cob?
Corn on cob, yeah. Rack it up. Typewriter. Little teeth. Chiclets.
You come up with the most bizarre thing.
I could just, you say Pete Abe, and I see him over there on a pedic table eating corn on cob.
Because why? It's sunny in Florida?
Oh, Jesus. French fries with extra ketchup. He's dipping it. He seems like that type. Yeah. Got a little butter and piece of corn all over his mouth. I don't know. Whatever.
You think him and Shaughnessy share bunk beds?
No. I think Dan stays away from him.
Well, Dan's not there the entire time.
Well, what's he doing?
Dan's at the hotel. Yeah.
He separates, he says, from them.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Good for Dan. He's earned it. Elder.
I wonder if anyone's going to get the scoop. Like, off to the side, after the fact. The hell happened last year? What was going on? Come on, everyone's back.
One thing. Give me one.
Rip the manager. Let's go.
It's a lot of things were going on. What? Give me one. Like what? Give me an example. One thing that went on, Xander.
And I legitimately want to know, because if it was all managerial related, that's good. That's a good thing.
It is good.
That means you've got... I think they've got a manager in there now who the players are going to like. Not that that's what you're, you know, looking for. That's the end goal.
I think you'd be able to go to him easier. It'll make it feel easier. It's not like you're walking in a principal's office.
I got to say, I've seen some of the quotes coming out of Alex Cora today. A lot to like. He's bringing a rather aggressive attitude to the Boston Red Sox.
That's good.
Maybe we will have some of that coming up in a short while. Get the right attitude coming out of the gate. Sean Graney will join us coming up at 120, 617-779-0985. We could jump to your calls, and we could do that right after these headlines with Saj.